there is any gospel story that should make you want to fall in love with Jesus, it's this one. He is the total package here. He's tough and he's tender. He's smart. He's empathetic. He's merciful. He's challenging. He's all things, everything needed right at the right moment, because that is who he is. See, the Pharisees, they want to catch Jesus in a trap. They think they have him on the horns of a dilemma. So they contrive to play a game, in a very high-stakes game. This is like Game of Thrones-type game, where the law of God is used as a weapon, and what's at risk is a woman's life. And they believe that they have Jesus caught. Why is he on the horns of a dilemma? Well, because if he pardons this woman, it appears as though he doesn't care about the law. At the same time, if he says, follow the law, do what Moses told you, then his whole message of mercy, kindness, his closeness to sinners, all rings completely false. And so these conniving and contriving men think they have him caught. Imagine the scene for a moment. Imagine what that must have looked like. Here comes this terrified woman led by a mob. Jesus is teaching. And all of a sudden, this commotion enters right in. All this chaos, all this fearful and angry energy. And Jesus meets it perfectly. See, he doesn't play their game. Here comes this mob. Here comes these angry men. Here comes this terrified woman. And Jesus immediately says, no. And he bends down. And he simply begins writing on the ground. Now, St. Augustine, he said that Jesus might have been writing the sins of those same Pharisees on the ground. It's possible. Maybe it happened. My opinion, not to put myself on the same level as St. Augustine, is just that Jesus was drawing in the ground to say, I don't play this game. I do not play this game. Not your game, not this way. They press him, what do you say? Give us an answer. And Jesus, who's bent down, straightens up and gives one of the best one-liners in the history of humanity. Let the one among you who is without sin cast the first stone. Then he bends back down again. See, Jesus, he doesn't play the games that sinners play. He comes as Savior. See, he in that moment defends the sinner while condemning the sin. He defends the sinner while condemning the sin. And it's amazing to see in our culture today how just opposite we are. In so many ways, we defend sin and then condemn sinners. We'll justify anything because it's all about freedom. And then as soon as someone makes a mistake, we hold their feet to the fire with no possibility for redemption or forgiveness ever. Jesus isn't that way. And Jesus does three things for this woman. Three things. He defends her, he forgives her, and he challenges her. And brothers and sisters, listen up, because he does the same three things for you and for me. He defends us, he forgives us, and he challenges us. Jesus defends her. He defends her when everyone is against her, when she has no one advocating for her, when her life is at risk. Jesus is the one who stands in the way of that hatred and defends her Let the one among you who has no sin cast the first stone. See, Jesus in that moment, he is speaking truth. Truth to the woman who was caught in sin, but also truth to everyone who's holding a stone in their hands. Jesus speaks truth into our lives. We're all sinners. Nobody here should have a stone, physical or metaphorical. Lay your stones down before you come in the chapel, because we're among sinners, every one of us. See, in Jesus, in that moment, he confronts everyone. In defending her, he confronts everyone with the reality of sin. And that's a real thing in our lives. Every one of us, we're all sinners. St. Paul, all have sinned and are deprived of the glory of God. Everyone. That's why we begin the Mass the way we do. I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned. That honesty opens us up. It saves us from this terrible place of judgment where we hold ourselves higher than someone else, where we think it's our job to condemn, our job to judge. Jesus defends her. In that moment, all the accusers begin to walk away. That's what Jesus does for you and for me. All the accusers, especially the spiritual ones, the ones who accuse us to say, you've done this thing and you can never be better. You are this way and you can never change. All those voices of accusation, Jesus speaks directly to. And when he has primacy of place, every one of those accusers walks away until there's a one-on-one encounter. Just the woman, just Jesus. Just you, just him. Personal and real. Then in that moment of encounter, where there's nothing, and this is St. Augustine as well, he said there's nothing but the woman's misery meeting the mercy of Jesus. See, that's what happens in that one-on-one encounter. Our misery, if we're ever real, if we're really real about where we are spiritually, our misery is met by mercy. 1,000 times out of 1,000, always. See, Jesus didn't come to the world to condemn the world. He came to the world to save the world. That's why he's here. That's why he comes. That's why he comes to you tonight. If you're miserable in your sin, and sin is miserable, you have a merciful Lord who comes right to you to separate you from all the accusers until it's just you and him. And then in that moment, you hear the same words that are spoken to this woman. Where are they? Where are they? Is there no one here to condemn you? She says, no one. Neither do I condemn you. Forgiveness, friends. Mercy. It's what we all need. It's what we all have in Jesus Christ our Lord. We have to listen to that. The Lord loves sinners. He loves us, not in spite of our sins, but even because of them. He draws near because we are sinners. And the way he sees it is completely different than the way we see ourselves. Jesus said, the healthy don't need a doctor. The sick do. I didn't come to call the righteous. I came to save sinners. And then elsewhere, he says, there's more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 who have no need. And I know we don't think about it that way. In our sinfulness, in our struggle, we drag ourselves back to the Lord, but there's more rejoicing in heaven over that movement than over 99 perfect people. take a little time to pray with that this week. Let that sink in, especially as we get closer to Holy Week and the great events of our salvation. Jesus loves sinners. So he defends us, and he forgives us, and he will always forgive us. There is no sin ever committed that is deeper than the Lord's mercy. No sin that you have ever committed that is deeper than the Lord's mercy. His love is always deeper. It's always stronger. And that is our confidence. So he defends and he forgives. But friends, he also challenges. And it is so important for us to know this. See, as that encounter plays out, is there anyone here to condemn you? No one, sir. Neither do I condemn you. And if he walked away in that moment, it would be a perfect ending to a movie in 2019 where we never really have to get real about stuff. Oh, he saved her. It was great. It was amazing. But Jesus doesn't do that. He says, go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. The challenge goes with the forgiveness. See, Jesus is a perfect blend. He's a perfect balance for her of understanding and expectation. He loves her right where she is, right? He understands her better than she does herself. Why was she in that situation? What was she looking for in that moment? Why did she reach out to that sin to satisfy the longing of her heart? He gets her through and through. He understands. But he also loves her too much to let her stay where she is. And so he has expectations of her. Go and sin no more. See, that's the balance. And you've heard me say it so often. Jesus loves us right where we are, and he loves us too much to let us stay there. He's calling her into freedom, and his mercy frees her. I don't condemn you. You are free. You are not bound by this sin and by the consequences of this sin. You are free. But as St. John Paul II loved to say, freedom and truth, and especially freedom and responsibility, have to go together. And so he calls her into responsibility. Go and sin no more. You've been set free. Now go and live freed from that sin, never compromising again. Jesus is exactly that for her. He's exactly that for us. Every single person here tonight, wherever you are on the spiritual spectrum, if you're riding high or if you're barely hanging on, if you had a great weekend or if you had a horrible weekend, Jesus loves you right where you are. His arms are wide open. He has nothing but love for you. But that love calls you beyond where you are into the real freedom of the children of God that St. Paul talks about, the real freedom that you were made for. See, his love is not mere tolerance. It never has been. It never will be. If you think his love is simply tolerating us in our mess, then look at the stations of the cross. Then look at the crucifix behind me. Then look at the altar behind me. Jesus does not tolerate sinfulness. He came to uproot it. He came to destroy it. He came to cast it out. Because we are not made to live compromised lives. We are not made to live in fear. We are not made to live in slavery. We are meant to live in the glorious freedom of the children of God. And so we come to Jesus tonight. We come to him, the one who loves us right where we are, the one who calls us beyond where we are to take another step forward, a strong step forward, to not be afraid to leave behind the old ways, but to say yes to his grace and to walk in the newness of his mercy and of his love. Jesus defends. He forgives, he challenges, he He defends that woman. He forgives that woman. He challenges that woman. He defends you. He forgives you. He challenges you. Brothers and sisters, he loves us right where we are. He loves us too much to let us stay there. So may we run to him tonight, unafraid. There is no accuser stronger than his voice. There is no sin greater than his love. We run to him tonight, and he will meet us right where we are. And in his grace, he will not let us stay there.